Ken and Cinnamon. And Ken, hello.
Good morning, friends. How are you today?
What's up,
Bob? Hi, Ken.
Hey, Ross.
What's up, Ken?
Great to hear you. I love when you're on.
Thanks, man.
First of all, I want to send a quick shout out to three great listeners I was able to have dinner with last night. Chuck from Cherry Hill, the walking baseball encyclopedia.
Yeah.
Coach Al from Belmar. Great time, and Mike Barron, great time, some lively debate. It was
nice.
Fun. So
good deal.
Thanks, everyone.
All right, Ken, what do you got for us? We got the baseball playoffs and a 2-2 team. Go ahead.
Listen, I'm all about the Phillies today. I've kind of put Sunday behind me, and something that's occurring to me. First of all, I would have to go with Johan. I can't believe I'm saying this.
Yeah, no.
But Johan Rojas has to be my center fielder because the best version of the Phillies outfield is Brandon Marsh in left field against righties, obviously.
Well, defensively, sure, but
yeah, if
you sign up for Rojas, you know there's a better chance than not you're literally signing up for 0-for-4.
I mean, you just are.
Why can't he continue to work on the small ball, the bunting? Like,
but
is
John,
it that hard to get those bunts down if you have a crash course? Like, just
John, he's been trying to do it since spring training.
I know, and that's why I don't understand why it doesn't seem like it's getting any better.
He's just not. And look, that accomplishes something, but you also got to drive the baseball. You got to get doubles. You got to get triples. You got to get home runs. I mean. You know, but go ahead, Ken.
We know that, especially against Arizona in those last few games, the game just seemed to find him at the plate, right? I mean, he just seemed to be up in every clutch situation.
Huh.
But the Phillies aren't going to win the World Series unless the eight guys in front of him produce. So
they might lose it if he doesn't. That's true. Listen, it's a thin line between winning and losing in life. It really is.
It's tough. That's why it's tough to be the manager.
I mean, look at the Eagles in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. I mean, they had it until they didn't. They had the game.
No, you're right. You're right. It's a tough call, but I think ultimately you've got to balance, what the best version of your team is on the field. I mean, you're playing defense more than you're hitting any individual player, I just think that's the best version of that outfield, you're gonna hope that he can even get on base, even if he gets walked or just get on base and let the big guys
exactly.
make.
Well, I know. All right, Ken, give me an answer here for the Dane Cook tickets. Best scene in a movie with only one person in the scene.
I'm thinking of George C. Scott, General Patton in front of this giant.
Big American. Answer.
That is a big answer. The beginning. That's the very beginning of Patton. Right?
Beginning. Yep.
Yeah, that's a really. I mean, there's so many big answers for this topic here today. All right. Speaking of topic, let's get to more on the Eagles. Now, in the second half of our interview with Sirianni, we covered more. This is from yesterday. More off-field stuff. Some of which is really getting a little weird now. And you're going to hear in a moment an apology from someone that's. After we interviewed Sirianni yesterday. Here's Nick Sirianni. Listen, and then we'll react. I'll tell you this. I liked his answers in the first sequence we just played 10 minutes ago. Some of these answers I did not love. I know he's kind of covering for some guys, but, like, come on, man. Here's Sirianni yesterday.
How do you safeguard against abandoning the run? How do you make sure to call enough runs moving forward?
Yeah,
tell you what, let's cut this off for 1 second. James, do me a favor, cut it out.
Is going to run the football.
Just stop that for a second, James. We're gonna pick this back up in about a minute or two. I want to take a phone call. That's the same answer that was at the end of the last sequence. So we'll get that edited, and then we'll play Sirianni coming up in about a minute or two with that question out, because that was redundant from 10 minutes ago. All right, let's get to Mike right now. Mike, you're on WIP.
Good morning, everybody.
What's up, Mike?
What's up?
So, really quick on the Phillies. I was actually looking at the Phillies tickets against seeing who they're going to play. Outfield tickets are going average $450 a pop.
Wow.
So,
Well, you know who's got $450? Mike, you know who's got $450 a pop? And I hate to say it, but I'm going to say it. Hundreds of thousands of New Yorkers. Hundreds of thousands.
I know. Well, I don't know if I'm going to make it down to the bank, but I will definitely be there when it's Bedlam in the Bronx, baby.
Oh, Mike, knock it off. I know you're pro-Eagles, but anti-Phillies, all right? Not in the mood for that right now. I need that nonsense.
I know. Listen.
What?
The weather's beautiful. The weather's turning, which only means one thing. It's the end of Howie season, and it's the start of hoodie season. We got to bring him in while we have the opportunity, okay? We need someone who's capable of herding all these cats, bringing in consistency and discipline. We're now talking about consistency and discipline a lot, as we should, and we have a novice at the helm. We have a master out there in the wings waiting to be picked up. And I'm so fearful he's going to go to New York or he's going to go to Dallas.
Yeah.
We have the opportunity now. This is not punting on the season.
I will say this, Mike. That's only if Belichick would take the job now, which I honestly tend to think he would not. Like, he's going to want to have his own coaching staff. That is really hard to assemble in early October. That is really, I mean, I know some guys are available like Patricia. I'm not a dummy. I get that. But, like, does he really want to sign up to join the Eagles in October? I would think the answer is no.
It feels unmanageable. It feels, for our purposes, like for my purposes, I love the idea of having a Hall of Fame coach at the helm. But from a practicality standpoint, he wants to make it his own.
Yeah.
There's no way that this timing works out properly.
I'm not saying don't try, Mike, but I'd have low expectations this week. All right, Mike, give me an answer.
Yeah.
Best scene with only one person in it.
The start of Saturday Night Fever with John Travolta.
Oh, yeah. There you go. That's another good one. All right. Well, technically, are there other people walking the streets? Is that the one where he's walking down the street?
Yeah.
He's not by himself then. If you see other humans,
but it's the folk.
No,
yeah,
listen. If
he is, but the point is, he's the focus.
But that's not. That's not.
But he's not interacting with them, right?
Yeah, he's not interacting.
But they're
with
in
anyone.
The scene.
Well, they're just their scenery. Background.
Humans in
he
a
really
scene
is an incredible.
Am I asking for one person in a scene or
you're
multiple?
Being
you're just a stickler.
All right, let's listen to Sirianni as the conversation continued on. Sirianni with us yesterday. Let's talk about a situation. Look, I've been doing this for 25 years in sports talk radio. I've never asked this to a coach, but I'm going to go there here. I think it's warranted. Do you think one of your players, Devin White, wants to be cut? I mean, let me put it another way. Sunday, his activity on social media struck me as a player trying to force your hand for the organization to cut him. Do you think that's what he's doing?
You know, Devin has been a great teammate here since the moment he's got here. And I really respect Devin for that, because not only has he been a great teammate when he's working with the ones in training camp but he's also been a great teammate when, you know, the things haven't went his way. I really admire that on Devin, is because he hasn't changed who he is. He still works hard to for the team, different role of what he has to do on a week-to-week basis. And I'm telling you, I really admire the things that he's done and just how professional he's been. I don't know much about what you're referring to. I mean, I've gotten a little nugget on that, but like haven't really looked into it much, just trying to fix some other things on this football team. But I just know, like, again, only thing you can judge is your experiences with people and his experiences in this building. And I can't say enough good things about Devin White, the person. I really can't. Because you got to put yourself in his situation. He's been a good player in this league for a while, and you know, it's not going the way he wanted it, but he's still showing up every single day, still being a great teammate, still working hard, still getting ready to play each and every week, and I admire that about him.
Nick, you know, obviously the main thing is how you guys perform in the field. Everyone knows that. There's also the connectivity to the city, which is, you know, a part of an organization. Something like Darius Slay, and, you know, he goes to Twitter Sunday after the game praising his career. I mean, you guys just got blown out, basically, and he's going to his Twitter to praise his career. I mean, do you talk to him and say, like, dude, not the time and place? Like, what? Not now.
Well, first and foremost, his career has been incredible. He's had an incredible career. I think what we have to do as players, as coaches, is you have to be able to block out noise, because, you know, noise is going to be there. When you don't perform well on the field, there's going to be noise. And who are you really trying? What you're trying to do is do everything you can do to win the football game, do everything you can do to please, you know, to be a good teammate, to be a good, in the locker room and everything like that. Slay is one of the best teammates on this team. Like, there's a reason why he's been voted a captain here, because he's a great, great, great teammate. And I think we can all have moments of, hey, you just lost a game. You're taking some criticism and be upset about it. That's why it's so important that you block it out. You block out the criticism, and you got to block out the praise as well, because you know there was praise last week. So you just got to block it out, and because all that matters is that we're getting better, and we love our fans, we love everything that they bring to this team. But at times, you just got to block out. You got to block out and put your head down and just work. But again, like I said, for Slay, there's not a better teammate on this team, and you know, and he has had a phenomenal career. But you know, again, we got to do what we got to do to make sure that we have a clear mindset, so we're operating at a high level and not be affected by outside noise.
All right, that's Nick Sirianni with us yesterday. There's parts of that answer I like. There's parts of those two answers I did not like at all. So let's just get to this reality. John, we know a lot of NFL coaches cover for a lot of players on a lot of fronts, and I respect that in a lot of instances. We know Andy Reid and Bill Belichick take it to historic levels. I mean, Andy would have no wide receivers, and some of that was his fault by choosing them, but like he would never act like they weren't pretty good. But I mean, there's got to be something. Like, if you're going to answer the question in a verbose fashion, you got to keep it kind of real. I want to play audio of Michael Clay right now. So I found this fascinating yesterday. Not surprising, but fascinating. Because to me, it completely, in many ways, flies in the face of what the head coach said. Look, let me just back this up for a second. So a couple of us here, when the first game happened, and of course we found out, you know, shortly before it, like, There's this injury. What was it, Ray? The ankle to
Devin White.
Devin White.
Oh, yes.
Like, a few of us heard, like,
we're like, yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, like, I heard, like, he's not happy being a backup. And by not happy, I mean, like, not going to be a backup.
Like, not going to Brazil.
Like, not going to Brazil because he doesn't want to be a backup. Now, I want you to listen to something Michael Clay said yesterday, because most backup linebackers play special teams.
Correct.
Listen to the Eagles special teams coach Michael Clay yesterday and ask yourself whether Devin White has tapped out on the Eagles and that's why he's deactivated. Listen to Michael Clay yesterday.
Looking in, it looks like Devin White would be a good special teams player. He's athletic. You know, why isn't he playing special teams?
Yeah, and that's a conversation that we have in the organization, you know, what he feels comfortable with, you know. And again, Devin's been in the league multiple years, but he hasn't had a lot of special team reps. But again, for myself personally, I'll take anybody that wants to play special teams. I'm not saying no, he can't play it or anything
ding,
of that nature. It's
ding,
just
ding.
How it rolls here in the NFL at times, and when it does push come to shove and he's up and he wants to help out, I'm more than welcome. But again, it's an organizational talk that we have. You know, we threw throughout the week, you only have what, 48 guys up, so however the is divvied up, we'll be able to go with that.
John, it's incredible.
Wow. That's revealing.
When he's up and wants to help out, we'll take him.
I'll take anyone.
Who wants to play special teams.
This is the first meeting
amazing?
Of every day. This
amazing.
Is all the young guys. This is not the easy route. And it sounds to me like Devin White thumbing his nose, essentially.
He's never going to play for the Eagles.
Up at the opportunity to play special teams. Good riddance.
I mean,
if
seriously.
That's the case. You know what? It was a contest for that starting Mike spot, and maybe that's I don't know what happened behind closed doors with all of that. You know, it didn't go your way. It's not over. Now's your chance to, I don't know, prove that they made the wrong choice.
Can I
just sit there and start hitting
over.
People?
Let me
agree with you. It does feel over.
Guess.
This is the attitude I wish he would take.
Well, you know who took
Why can't we have guys who take this type of attitude?
You know who?
Go out and make a difference
right.
Now. Go like Jeremiah Trotter
did. That's what I was going to say.
In 2004.
Correct.
You know how much we respected Trot for what he did? Hey, I knew I didn't want to hit him. I knew I didn't want to have to block Jeremiah Trotter. I knew he was the hardest linebacker on the team to have to deal with. Everyone else knew that too. He earned it, though.
He earned it back.
He had to go the long way.
He earned it back.
And he did.
He sure did. And he reestablished and made Pro Bowls again.
Without a complaint. Man, I respect him so much.
Totally.
I always respected him so much. But that's the thing. Just shut up and do your job. Go out there and do whatever they ask.
Yeah. So
but hit people hard. As a linebacker, that's all you need to do to play.
And here's what you clearly need to do. You need to choose to play to play. You need to choose to play. I mean, so I thought that was a joke. And so I think that makes Sirianni's answer yesterday look worse, frankly. I already knew he was covering for him. But then you hear Michael Clay say that. It's like, come on. All right. Now, let's also, though, make sure we cover the Darius Slay front. Because Slay had an apology yesterday, and it would not be appropriate if we didn't play it. Because, you know, we were critical of some aspects of him a couple days ago with the Micah Parsons podcast. And so, all right, Slay can, and listen, he also gives you some explanation of the whys, of why he's been frustrated, which I respect. Here is Darius Slay yesterday.
I will take accountability for posting my stats like that. I should not have did that. I shouldn't. But y'all got under my skin a little bit. I'm not going to lie. Y'all got under my skin for the first time. That was kind of big for me right there, man, because I put a lot of work into this, man. I train my ass off, work my ass off. I try to be the best role model leader I can be and to, like, you know what I'm saying, get attacked all the time. Not all the time, but for that game, I'm like, God, dog, like, you know what I'm saying? I had a great ball, great catch on me, and y'all was just attacking the dude and da-da-da. I got in my feelings a little bit, so I apologize, Eagles fan, from the bottom of my heart. That won't happen again. I do take accountability for my wrong. That was wrong for me doing that. That was a kind of selfish act a little bit because I've never been like that.
And I respect that a lot from Darius Slay. I respect that a lot. Ross, it
that
has
was
been
massive.
It's good work. It's
great,
like the
job.
It's like the Alec Boehm thing. I messed up. I own it. Cool.
Oh, man.
Ross, the off-the-field stuff, though, quickly started getting weird again. You know, like C.J. Gardner-Johnson yesterday on Instagram, damn, dot, dot, dot. Like, that's the stuff that's like, is he talking about what, you know, Slay talked about to Micah Parsons? You know what I mean, Ross? Like, the main thing is on the field, but not a great week for the Eagles off the field either.
No, and you know, Joe, how I feel about this stuff. I really don't typically parse the words of press conferences or whatever. And I don't know, and I said this on social media, I don't know if this off-the-field stuff is a big deal, it's a little deal. Here's what I would say. It's not no deal.
Right.
Because the fact that we're talking about it, and as Sirianni pointed out, Slay is a captain. I mean, we have to assume that what Gardner Johnson put on his Instagram story is directly related to what Slay said on Micah's podcast. So I'm of the mindset that, especially if you're a captain, but really anybody on the team, you should not be doing anything that we're talking about on the radio the next day. And I would even say this, I was disappointed too. I don't know how much time you guys spent on it Monday or yesterday, Joe, but the strange comment from Hurts about, like, we have our moments.
That's ridiculous.
Or whatever. I guess I just, these are captains of the team. And do you know how often as a player you just say what you have to say?
Sure.
You know what I mean?
I mean, do.
I distinctly remember getting traded to Cleveland. And, you know, their starting center had torn his knee up. And they came up to me and they're like, Ross, you just got traded here from New England. Like, what are you thinking? And I literally, Joe, I said, I'm so excited to be here. You know, I've heard great things about the head coach, Romeo Crennel. We've got these young, talented, skilled guys, Braylon Edwards, Kellen Winslow, this quarterback. I mean, if I was being honest, I would have said, the quarterback stinks. The head coach is too nice. These young guys are punks. They're never going to amount to what they should. But you know what? They're going to pay me money to play in Cleveland this year, so I'm happy to be here. You know what I mean? Like,
that's great.
Like, if I was being honest, like that, but you just don't say that. Like,
yeah,
you
that's
just,
right.
So I guess I'm disappointed that there are guys on the Eagles. Like, Hurts is a really smart guy, and he's the first person that will tell you that he is intentional and measured with everything that he says. So I guess my next question for him would be, why are you intentionally making comments like we have our moments? Like, why are you intentionally?
Good question, Ross.
It's so much easier to just say, yeah, you know what? We all got to figure out what our message is coming out of the box. I'm a little disappointed by that. My philosophy is, you should never say anything that is talked about on WIP. And I would say what Slade did with Micah what Slay did on social media. I don't even know what Devin White's doing. I guess he's.
You got to admit, Russ, we got to roll in a moment. Just give me 5 seconds. What the special teams coordinator put out there yesterday is a fiasco for Devin White. I mean, it obviously looks like Devin White quit on the team. I'll take him if he wants to play. I mean, come on. You know.
Yeah, I'm very curious about that situation now because it sounds like you guys heard some things.
Oh, yeah.
We heard
it right away. I still think it was John's fault. Good morning to all. As we broast on this Wednesday morning.
No, you don't.
What was it, the piano's fault?
I'm a good person. I'm a rule follower.
You are.
Joe.
A coach's dream, as James and I have said. That's right.
I'm a rule follower. So do you really think that I would smear Crisco on a piano?
Could be inadvertent.
Inadvertently smearing Crisco on a piano with the intent of lighting it on fire? No.
Fair
enough. Nothing inadvertent about that.
All right. Great to be with you. We got Ross with us. Phil Martelli is going to join us in about 15 minutes as we get closer to the start of the Phils. Speaking of the Phils, tomorrow, a big, big show. As we broadcast from Chickies and Pete's in South Philadelphia, not just our show, but 13 and a half hours of WIP broadcast from 6 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. So any portion of that, if you're able tomorrow to get to the South Philly Chickies and Pete's, 1526 Packer Avenue, please do. Now, we're going to have an announcement at 8:40 during the show. We're going to have special guests through the day. It's going to be quite a thing. So be there if you can tomorrow as we get close to the Phils. You know, three different Twitter poll questions today that the Phillies have to figure out. And they probably have a good sense of what their answers will be, but, you know, we don't know yet what it'll be. For these three questions brought to us by Armin Chevrolet, the all-new three-row Chevrolet Traverse has arrived, and Armin has them in stock. Together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. First question, who should start Game 2 of the NLDS for the Phillies, Nola or Sanchez? Second question, who should be the starting second baseman against a left-handed starting pitcher, Sosa or Stott? Third question, who should start in center field against a left-handed pitcher, Marsh or Rojas? Really some fascinating things to consider. We'll see where it ultimately goes this weekend, but you can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter on all that and weigh in on the phone line. Speaking of weighing in, you know, Ross with us right now. So, Ross, I'm trying to derive additional hope on this Eagles mess, and I'll call it a mess because it hasn't been good. And this does give me some hope. Tell me if this should give people listening more hope than maybe they're holding on to. The NFL has been as all over the place this year as we've ever seen in September. And it's just hard to get a read on who's good and who's not. There's probably plenty of teams that are 2-2 that are going to make the playoffs and figure some stuff out as they go. Does that give you some hope on the Eagles?
1,000%. Yeah. I mean, the only team that's really been awesome so far is the Minnesota Vikings of all teams, which is just crazy. I thought for sure they'd finish last in the NFC North. But to your point, I mean, the Niners are 2-2, right? They obviously have really high hopes and a lot of talent after what they've done in recent years. And the Lions look great Monday night, but it was only a couple weeks earlier where they lost at home to the same Bucks. The Eagles just lost it. And in between, by the way, those two games, the Bucs got smoked at home by the Denver Broncos. So what I think this is, on some level, Joe, is these guys do not practice very much in training camp. They don't play in preseason games at all. So I think the first month of the season is really kind of teams trying to figure out who they are. And if you remember, because I know his name's come up a lot in the last week or so, Bill Belichick, go back and look at how many years when he was in New England and they were going to Super Bowls and conference championship games and all that. Go back and look at how many years they were 2-2 in September. And he'll be and you can even Google it right now, Belichick, September. There are quotes from him where he says, you kind of figure out who you are, what you got in September, and then in October – it's kind of go time. You should know what you have, and you should go from there. They literally would only lose like one or two games the whole rest of the year. But, they were 1-3 some Septembers. So I have a lot of faith in the Eagles' roster and talent. Yeah. I was disturbed. I said this earlier. I'll say it again. It's Hurts' turnovers. It's the slow starts on offense. And it's the defense getting shredded in a couple of these games. Those are the things.
Ross, should this team have a better idea of who it is? I mean, I know Bill Belichick says you don't really know your team until Thanksgiving. You know, eventually that's the end of that paragraph. But, man, it doesn't feel like we have any inkling, like, of identity-wise.
Well,
like, I wish we were more, like, ground-based at this point,
I guess. We know they still have a really good offensive line.
Yes.
We know Saquon is special,
yes,
which is very exciting
sure
since
is.
They brought him in. We know about Goddard. They'll get Devontae and A.J. Brown back. Those are all known commodities. You know, the Hurts thing, I got to be honest with you, I can't think of another example, and maybe one of our listeners can try to Google this or something. When's the last time you remember a quarterback that the first 2 years as a starter almost never turned it over?
Yeah.
And then the next two turned it over as much as anyone. It's, if anything, it's the opposite.
It's bizarre. I'll tell you the only thing, and I don't know the specific stats, but strong out of the gate was Mark Sanchez getting to two conference title games. A great running game and great defense.
Yeah, we knew exactly
but
what that was about.
He then totally fell apart.
But the numbers wasn't
even,
are incredible.
They weren't even throwing the ball.
I know.
Jalen, the number of turnovers, the sheer numbers.
Yeah.
I mean, we're at a point now where it's almost inexplicable.
Yeah. All right, let's get some calls in here. Again, Martelli with us in about 10 or 15 minutes. Phone calls right now. Actually, I want to get to Dombrowski shortly, something he said yesterday. Zach in Medford right now. Zach, you're on WIP.
Good morning, folks. Russ, it's a pleasure to get to talk to you.
Likewise.
So I just wanted to hit a quick Phillies point before I dive into the Eagles, and I'm happy Ross is here to kind of field my question. I think the best choice, kind of honing in on third poll question, I think, and I hate to say this because I love Marsh, I think we have Rojas out there, and if we're in a situation where we're down a bunch of runs late in the game, we swap out for Marsh because at least he has some batting ability. Rojas has nothing, and at least Marsh gives us some inkling of a chance to get some runs and some.
Well, clearly. Yeah, and look, I mean, Marsh,
I don't mind that idea. I mean,
Can I ask a dumb question? Is this a dumb question, Joe?
Sure, yeah.
How many times in an average game does the ball even go to center field?
Oh, I don't know, but I don't know. Seltzer, 4-7?
Yeah, I mean,
dumb question, by the way.
Yeah,
No, but I'm saying
it's totally dependent on the pitcher, on the team you're playing. Like, there's a million, you know what I mean? Like, some pitchers are ground ball pitchers, so it's impossible to answer.
Well, there is an answer for what the average is, but I don't know.
There's an average, for sure.
Yeah. My point is, though, it's enough times that it's worth kind of waving the white towel
it's a super important position.
Yeah, but yeah, it is. Here's the broader thing, though, and this is why we're asking this question about a left-handed pitcher. Marsh can't hit left-handed pitchers, and Rojas can't hit any pitchers. That's why we're saying what are they? Seltzer, how's there no door number three? Can Kyle Schwarber
made a better trade at the trade deadline? Like I said
Mookie
at the time,
Betts. Bring in Doug Glanville. How about him? Probably 55 years
old.
Yeah,
I think he's a little old now.
He can swing a stick.
He could pick it.
Oh, my Lord. Zach, we'll see. Look, they just have a bad center field situation in that scenario. They just do. It's the weak link of the team, obviously.
I agree, once you get
through Taiwan in the regular season, Taiwan don't count anymore.
Yeah.
Right. All right, Zach, give me an answer. Only one person in the scene. What do you got?
So, quick Eagles point, and I want to see what you guys think. Looking at the game this past Sunday, I know obviously one of the biggest points was turnovers and Jalen not being careful with the ball. I was looking at him overthrowing the ball, and part of me kind of thought, and I want to see what you guys think, and I'll give my answer. Do you guys feel that he was overthrowing to try and get it away from the defense and kind of give his wide receivers the only ability to get to the ball, or was it just terrible throwing?
I did not sense that.
What?
What are
you suggesting?
That it was like only the Eagle can catch it, and you throw it to the point where you're stretching the limits of whether even the Eagle can get it, but it won't be at least intercepted.
No.
I don't think so, Zach. No. Like, take that one on the first play
you're
to Saquon. He's rolling to his right, and he just throws it mistakenly
just
out of bounds.
Bad throw.
Yeah, I mean, the thing sails out of bounds.
Yeah.
Zach, give me an answer. A scene in a movie with one person.
So I for fantasy, I need this team to tuck tail, just like this character tucked something. Buffalo Bills.
It's already been said. I said it. Give me a different one.
Oh, no.
Yep.
All right. Good effort. Nice to talk to you guys.
All right, buddy.
Well, it's a good delivery, too, with the tuck tail thing and all that. He was already.
You know what was a great show?
It could have been a winning answer if it weren't for
Can I just say on behalf of the 40-something-year-olds, great show, not tuck tail?
DuckTales.
Bingo.
Woo!
Okay, I love that show.
That's not a great
show. And I'm not a 40-something.
Love DuckTales.
All right, 40-something.
Like DuckTales, John? Wait, and
you're
younger, buddy.
DuckTales was great.
I don't think it's 40-something.
I wanted to go off the diving board.
Me too.
Totally.
Gold coins, swimming around with Scrooge.
I loved it. John, you were just a smidge
too old. Yeah, DuckTales was great, John.
I've never seen a second of this show.
Great. All right, let's listen to Dave Dombrowski because, you know, the Phillies are going to play a game today. Not the real game, but a fake game. And sounds like they're going to go at it, which is good. Here is Dombrowski yesterday talking about the circumstances for today.
We're going to play a regular inter-squad game. They were drafting teams, picking teams in there. They had captains for both teams. I'll let Topfer tell you all that stuff, but they had two captains for each team, and he has them set up, and we're going to have umpires here, and we're going to have crowd noise here, and we're going to have the scoreboard working and walk-up view so we can have it feel like it's a regular game. And I don't know what their final somehow there was going to be a wager on this game. I stayed away from knowing what the wager is going to be, but somehow there's a lot of internal type of quest on who's going to win this game.
We'll see. Look, you guys know
that's
my thing.
Awesome.
It is good.
That is so much fun.
Yes,
the internal, you know, the bets between the offense,
it's good to know that they're
defense,
having fun with
stuff.
It, right?
Yeah,
like this,
totally.
Because that's what this team's identity has been throughout this whole season.
Without a doubt.
They have fun and their vibes are great.
That's how they roll.
I'm just telling you, this is me. A lot of people might disagree with it. I'll say it anyway. I wish they would play 3 or 4 inter-squad games.
No.
I would risk injury to keep timing going. I am struck in this sport. Timing for a hitter.
Then you got to bring up pitchers from the minors or something to throw those games. Like, you can't wait. You can't ask starters to,
I understand.
You know.
I'm just telling you. I mean, there's the first 2 years of this new playoff format, it's not good for the teams that have had buys. It's really not.
Well, the way that the minor leaguers will come up and try to replicate the.
Well, sure. They're
the
not going to throw as fast.
Throw. It's nowhere close. It's,
you know
it's,
what I want, Joe? Why isn't today? I saw this, by the way, on Devin's social media yesterday, and I saw the interview. Why isn't today like an open training camp practice? Why can't we go there and watch the inter-squad scrimmage?
Yes.
That
so,
would be amazing.
So many fans have replied to that video on social media and asked that same question, Rob.
$10 each.
So
I would go.
Someone asked him that, and he basically was like, we thought about it, but I think a lot of logistics have to go into that, right? Like, they have to bring in
Don't you want to make it game-like?
Yeah, but I think it just was probably too much. He said they didn't feel it was necessary. So,
yeah. All right.
I don't know.
All right, Ross, let me get to this again and a few final things with Ross Tucker and then Phil Martelli shortly in studio. So, Ross, as it relates to the Eagles, I said earlier, tell me if you agree or disagree with this. I know you'll agree with the first person. I think there's two people most important for the remainder of the Eagles season. One, Jalen Hurts. I know you're not going to disagree with that. Here's correct. My number two, Vic Fangio.
And that here's would be my number two as well.
Yeah. All right. Here's my reason. So give me your response. My reason is they have fairly weak defensive personnel, and they're going to need a magician to be a magician. And I don't know that he will figure it out, but they need him to make some of the parts better than the individuals.
So agree on Hurts and agree on Fangio, actually. But I disagree a little bit with what you said about Fangio. Okay. I don't think they have below average personnel on defense. I do not think that. I think they have at least average, if not above average. But I would say it's on Fangio to have better plans. I really like Fangio. I like how honest he is with the media.
Yeah,
but
totally.
The week before, the Eagles' D-line dominated the Saints' offensive line, and Baker Mayfield got sacked a zillion times by the Broncos, okay? So if you're Fangio, I'm a little surprised that they didn't have tighter coverage, and that they allowed Baker to get rid of the ball so quickly, because it's like, what do you think he's going to do?
Well, let me, Ross,
get sacked a bunch again.
While we're here, I want to play. It was interesting. I was going to play this shortly, but let's do it right now. I want to play Vic Fangio talking about that yesterday. I was very confused by his answer. I'm trying to figure out if he's saying the players.
I don't understand this answer either.
Okay, we're going to play this audio. Here's the question. Is he actually saying the players themselves get to choose whether they're press corners or not? He's kind of talking about two different things at the same time, so I'm not sure if his answer is about that or something else. Here's Fangio yesterday.
Tom Brady on the telecast that you're not comfortable playing press coverage right now. Is there any validity to that?
No. our guys, particularly the corners, have the ability to press based on formation. You know, if they're stacking receivers and stuff, it's hard to press then, but on normal splits, they have the ability to press in almost all our calls.
It's up to is it their decision?
Yeah, it's by matchup and receiver split. Yeah, but we had more opportunity. We can press more.
Now, when he said yeah, he may not have been answering the question that had just been asked, is it their decision? He may have just been saying yeah as he's describing the circumstances. Based on matchups. No,
I took it as their decision.
No, it sounds like it is their decision. Like, they can't do it in certain formations like a bunch set or against certain splits. But if it's two outside receivers and Slay and Quinyon are outside and either man-to-man or, like, cover three, I took it as if they want to get up and press, they can. If they want to play off, or if they, you know, that they can play it the way they want to play.
John, whose decision should that be, the coordinator or the cornerback?
I don't know how this normally works. I don't know.
No, some coaches have a preference. Some coaches leave it up to the guys. But what I would have said after the first series is he's throwing the ball in less than 2 seconds. We're not even giving our D-line a chance to get to him. You guys got to get up on these guys. Either press man or not as much of a cushion. And Fangio even said, I heard him say after the game or yesterday or something, that they needed to play tighter than they did.
Yeah, he did. All right, Ross, wonderful work, buddy. We'll talk to you next week. I know it's not really a bye for you because you're always in action, but Eagles can't lose this weekend. It's a good thing.
Hey, it's good timing for the Phillies to be playing this
weekend. Yes, it is.
Totally.
There is. Ross, stay well, buddy. Thanks,
all
man.
Thanks, Ross.
All right, there he is, Ross Tucker. All right, Phil Martelli joins us shortly. Let's get to Jason right now in Deptford. Jason, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing well, Jason.
Hey, I just wanted to bring up a couple points. I was fortunate enough to be able to lift weights with a former player of yours, teammate of yours, John. I don't want to name drop or whatever, but we talked about this 10 years ago. I played offensive line in high school. Mm-hmm. I know it's nowhere near the same thing, but one thing I couldn't stand was my quarterback was mobile. And the reason was, I have no idea where he is at the time.
Yeah, exactly. It's tough. It's tough. Basically, you have to keep your eye on your quarterback. You have to know where to expect your butt. Mm-hmm. Your butt needs to be. You need to know where your butt needs to be. You need to have your body between the defender and the quarterback, and you need to have your butt at the right angle to do that, and I can't see you with my butt. Right. So you got to be where you're supposed to be, man.
Exactly. That's why I'm feeling like it's – that's why I think you're seeing so many penalties with offensive linemen downfield. I think that's why, like, Jalen Hurts himself is just getting skittish. And he's not trusting himself into where he can throw the ball, because he needs to be able to throw it to a point where the receiver can catch it on the run. And he's just throwing it away sometimes, like more often than not.
Yeah, well, it's a work in progress.
It is a work in progress. All right, Jason, you can win the Dane Cook tickets. A scene in a movie with only one person.
My favorite scene from the movie was in Evil Dead 2, when Bruce Campbell had the fight with his own hand because it was possessed.
Yeah, it's a great answer.
Okay. You got it, Jason. Appreciate the call. All right, so we got both teams obviously on the table. Sixers and Flyers in the coming weeks will start their season. Phillies Red October. I mean, listen, we're trying to like crank up Phillies coverage, and I was thinking, who's the biggest Phillies fan I know? Phil Martelli's the bit. Phil Martelli, welcome back to WIP. What's going on?
It's great to see you guys. I really appreciate it. I was driving and I have to comment. I have to comment. There wasn't really a guy that called in and said, replace Sirianni with Belichick this week, like right now.
There was.
Immediately.
And he's not the only one.
I think there might be hosts on this show, Phil, who would say that. I think you're looking right at him.
I miss Philly.
So Phil, first off, I mean, you haven't been here, you know, for some time. I know you were here when Glenn retired, which is great. Thanks for being part of our show today. I mean, you're such a big part of Angela. I mean, Rhea, how many times was Phil on with Angela?
Oh, no. Every, you know, he would call in every Friday to give his pick. And the craziest thing is, I wouldn't get asked about anything that happened on Friday's show. I would be getting gas, and somebody would come up and go, who'd Phil pick this morning? They wanted to know his pick. It was insane.
All right, so Phil, we want to do a lot of Eagles with you, but let's start Phillies. So first off, this is your first Red October without coaching. I mean, you get to just saddle up, sit back, and enjoy. You don't have to worry about the 18-year-olds, the 20-year-olds.
No, but I'll tell you what, I managed to fit it in. Game 5 against the Astros in the World Series, I was fortunate enough to be inducted into the Philadelphia Sports Hall of Fame at the live casino.
Sure, I remember that.
Knowing that Game 5 was across the parking lot, so I reached out to the Phillies.
Eagles played the same night.
Yes. We walked across the parking lot, and I went to the game with my son and my grandson, who drove in from Rhode Island, to watch Game 5. The night before, and that young lady is out there. There was a young lady on the plane the night before. They were being no hit, and we were taxiing in. I was flying in from Detroit into Philadelphia, and the young lady in front of me was going like batter by batter, and I grab her by the left, by the right arm, and I say to her, all right, that's not good enough. I want pitch by pitch. I want to know exactly what's happening pitch by pitch. And I thought, like, she thinks I'm deranged. I'm likely to be pulled off here by federal marshals.
Did you ever have to change some of, like, when you were at St. Joe's, some of the scheduling so
Never.
You could watch a? You kept it by the book.
No, I'm really proud of this. I gave out a practice schedule that would, when practice was normal, started on October 15th. Now it starts September 22nd. I gave out a practice schedule that ran until January 1, end of first semester. In the course of 25 years, I changed that 5 times and was all for funerals.
Well, good for you.
It was the only reason, because I built that program on respect, and you start by respecting each other's time.
That's interesting.
And yeah. They weren't allowed to spend my money, and I wasn't allowed to spend their time. So if I said 3:30, it was 3:30. And people that came to our practices, when it said we would end at 5:30, we ended at 5:30. The worst thing that a coach can say, John, you've been through this, when a coach hits you with one more time. That is such a lie. There's no coach out there that's ever done it one more time. Mm-hmm. And I didn't buy into it.
I never bought into it. So, Phil, how excited are you for this Red October? It's their third crack at it with this group. They're probably going to get 5 or 6 or 7. They got a loaded team and should for years. They really have a shot this year. How excited are you?
I'm beyond. I really am. When I was in Michigan, so the beginning of the season, I was there till May 1st. The beginning of the season, I didn't want to pay for MLB Network, so I would watch the game pitch by pitch on my phone on like the ESPN app.
You're saving $150.
I was always going to save up until August. That was what I did the last couple of years. I bought the package in August, and then I watched. But this is, I mean, look, I'm raising my hand and saying this is crazy. The first ball that Wheeler throws on Saturday night, I want him sent out. Get him out. Bring somebody else in from
How do we avoid the hangover that we've that we're so fearful of? This baseball team, I believe in the talent, but man, they got to be hot. They got to be sharp. They got to be right out of the gates after being away from baseball for a week.
Stars must shine. It's plain and simple. The stars shine, like the Detroit pitcher yesterday.
Yeah.
He shines. They win. Our stars shine, and I heard earlier, Rojas in center field, or do you put Sosa in at second? None of that matters. If the stars shine, if number 3 shines, we're all going to Broad Street. on number three's back.
All right, let's go to the phones. Let's mix some calls with Phil here again. Phil Martelli with us the rest of the show. We'll talk to Mike Quick at 9:10 today. A lot of calls to get to as well. Scott and King of Prussia. Scott, good morning.
Greetings, team. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning.
Just to let you guys know, this will be a simulated phone call in honor of today's Red October.
That's great.
All right. So much to get to. First, I am going with Sosa at second base. Of course, I'm going to platoon him. Absolutely against the left-handed pitching. He's got to be in there without question.
I think that's the easiest of these answers, Scott.
I agree.
Because, I mean, Bryson struggles against lefties, and Sosa's like he's decent,
and you know he fields his position too.
Yeah, and you know you're gonna get Stott in the game one way or the other at some point. At some point,
that's right.
Bryson Stott's gonna be in that game.
I also am gonna have a conversation with Nola, and we're gonna sit down, and I'm gonna get to the bottom of how important it is to him to be the game two starter, because I'm leaning towards Sanchez. I usually go more on feel than on stats, but on this one, he is just so much better at home that I can't ignore that.
Can I just bring Scott
last start at home and it didn't look
the last one
wasn't great. Yeah,
but Scott, let me just present this.
Go ahead.
I think too much is being made of the home away thing in the first round. Then you have a second round and a third round.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Like,
who's more experienced? Well, who do you believe in?
Who's better?
Second and third round. I do think that matters. Aaron Nola's been doing this a lot longer than Christopher Sanchez.
Totally.
There's no question that they're going to go with Nola in the two slot. In my opinion,
I agree with you. I'll be shocked if they don't.
Absolutely agree with that. That's Topper's MO, in my opinion. However, just. The more I look at it, the more I cannot ignore the split. And I'm going to make that change. That's just me. Okay. You know,
well, it's not just you. It's a lot of people. We'll see at the end of the day what the poll is next hour. But there's a lot of people that have called us the last two or three weeks saying, give that ball to Sanchez there. All right, give me your next point.
Real quick pivot to the Eagles. That Fangio comment of him saying that the corners – maybe should have adjusted earlier is absolutely infuriating to me. Number one, I hate the bend don't break defense, that his defense, I hate it. It prevents nothing. It's basically a prevent type defense. I can't stand it. But to say he's got to be the one coaching, the one speaking up, saying get your ass up on the line and be physical. If you get beat one on one, so be it. I don't know.
I kind of felt like he was throwing the blame somewhat on the players by saying, well, you know, they have the ability to do it.
It was a strange answer.
Very, very odd.
Yeah,
very
it was.
Odd.
All right, Scott, give me a scene with one person.
Joe.
Scott.
Are you talking to me?
Oh, man.
That's really good.
That could win, Scott. De Niro and Taxi.
That was like first in mind.
Or Taxi Driver, that is. Yeah, that's a big answer. Yeah. Big. All right, speaking of answers, Phil, how concerned are you on the Eagles?
Well, I think if you step away and say they won a game on the road where they gave up 12 points, and then they played on the road without three All-Pros, I think we have to stop. I really do.
You think it's an overreaction?
Well, I think we have a tendency in this town to overreact without really knowing anything. I don't mean to be disrespectful to your last caller or whatever, but do you think that he could really identify what the corners are supposed to do on every single play?
No.
There's one man that can do that. John Ritchie can tell you that. I think that we overvalue ourselves as Eagle critics without really knowing.
What about on Hurts, though? We've seen a lot of football. We're pretty good at evaluating QBs. I mean, Phil, they got a starting quarterback issue right now. They really do.
Well, I'll be a smart bleep by asking this. Did he start in college?
Sometimes.
Yeah, that's my point. So we're expecting him to be in the NFL and be a top five,
$250 million.
Right? He was a backup. Like, Saban is a guru, right?
That's right.
He knows everything there is to know. He benched the guy for a reason.
But I will say, for a guy that got drafted in the top five of the draft, Tua, it's not like Tua was a scrub.
Tua was special, yeah.
But Tua was the better quarterback at the time.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, here's my thing. We saw 2 years ago, Jalen Hurts was incredible. Like, we've seen it. And now it's like, oof.
Did the other defenses catch up to him?
I just don't
know enough about it. But 2-2, Barkley is top five running back.
Yeah.
The wide receivers are phenomenal. I think the tight end is vastly underrated. Offensive line.
I think we need to talk when we come back. We need to ask Phil if the adage in the NFL is, if I've seen you do it once, I know you. I can coach you to do it again. Why isn't that happening with
Jalen? All right, we'll get into that. The coaching point says, and also I want to get Phil and Rob Thompson. If you've done what you've done as a coach, but now it's crunch time in the playoffs, do you stick with what you've done, or do you got to broaden that brain to say, I'm going to pivot and do something else?